A natural med isn't just a substance you take. It is a lifestyle that one lives to amplify their health. We don't always choose how long we will be on this planet, but we can take action on the quality of life that we wish to enjoy.
The Natural Med Podcast interviews different professionals and experts who look at improving the quality of health so they can live a more fulfilling life. Whether that be physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, or spiritually, we discover the secrets to their own journey and the small steps individuals can take on a daily basis to improve the quality of their life. Come with me as we travel, research, and discover how we can make incremental changes on a daily basis to live a more fulfilled and balanced life. Finally, from the kind of break we had over the holiday season, I'm joined by my husband, Joshua Wright, and partner in crime. And today we have a special guest, Wes McFall from Velocity Physical Therapy. Welcome, Wes, and
tell us
about yourself and everything.
Yeah, so my name is Wes McFall. I'm a doctor of physical therapy, and I graduated from the University of Oklahoma in 2011. So a boomer. That, you probably lost half your audience. But one half is going to like me.
Okay.
I graduated from 2011. And I've been pricing ever since. Priced in Oklahoma for a while. I ran an office for kind of a bigger corporate company for a while. And now I'm a part of Velocity Physical Therapy. I'm the managing partner at our Crossroads location, which is just east of Denton. If you get on 380, go over the bridge, and we're right there.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
So what got you into physical therapy? Why did you want to become a physical therapist?
That's a good question.
Where did it all start?
Yeah,
tell us.
I have to say it started with an injury, which really, that's a common thing if you ask most therapists, that they had to have physical therapy for some reason, which is kind of true for me. But I had a football injury, I had a broken wrist, I was in a cast for on and off for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
I actually still have a non-union and a bone on my wrist, but it's mostly good.
Yeah.
But anyway, I really had a tough time with that injury because I was a high school football player. Mm-hmm. My whole identity was on like what I could do physically, and that was taken from me. I couldn't do those things anymore. I couldn't work out. I got fatter, and it was not fun. So, I got to learn a lot about myself, a lot about my identity. I grew a ton in my faith. So, I really, that's when I got to be serious about my faith as a Christian. But I just learned a ton about myself and learned how your body physically can affect your body. Emotionally, your mental well-being, and I wanted to be a part of the space to help people to heal and to be at that crossroads between where people have injury and where they want to just get back to their life, back to the things they want to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool to hear your story and, you know, see how you're passionate about physical therapy. So tell us a little bit more about physical therapy, like who goes to physical therapy and why?
Yeah, man, it's a really diverse field because you have physical therapists that are in schools. You have physical therapists that are in nursing facilities. There's hospital-based PTs. There's, outpatient PTs like myself. So a PT is basically a movement expert. Okay? Mm-hmm. We are trained, highly trained in anatomy and kinesiology and all kinds of orthopedic type stuff. But we are the movement experts. Mm-hmm. Right? So we really diagnose and look at how you're moving, the things that you can do well, things that you can't do so well. And we try to break that down and say, hey, what deficits are there that might be contributing to this? And then you basically just create and design a program. And the program can include a ton of different things. Mm-hmm. Of course, exercises are our bread and butter.
Yeah.
Exercise is where you have the highest evidence to make long-term changes and to create just tremendous health benefits outside of just pain and orthopedics. Okay? But there's a lot of things that we do hands-on. Okay? Yeah. We do all kinds of mobilizations or manipulations. We do some good soft tissue work. We can do traction. We can do electrical stimulation. We do dry needling. There's all kinds of tools in the toolbox. But, a PT can be anywhere, at any facility, any place, just helping people to move, help them feel better, get back to their life.
Yeah. So would you say it's like mainly an acute injury, or do you see a lot of like chronic injuries, or what are you mainly seeing?
Yeah. You know, we see really a little bit of everything. You know, we see people that just, you know, sprain their ankle and need to get back on the field or back to work. You know, people that, see people that have their knee replaced or hip replaced, they've had back surgery, or even they're just the weekend warrior. And so mm-hmm. they've got a little strain or sprain. And we got our runners that have some IT band issues, or, you know, really everything. We have people in their 90s that come in. We have people that are 10 that come in.
Yeah. Awesome. I bet you see a lot of those runners. I feel like when I ran marathons, we saw like a lot of the people I ran with, there was some type of injury going on.
Yes, there's always something. And, you know, the more active people are, you know, there's, like I said, tremendous health benefits, but mm-hmm. it's also things that just happen.
Yeah.
You know, there are injuries that occur, and so we're there to help them. And we don't like to take activities away. Mm-hmm. Hey, we like to let them continue to do what they want to do. So with our runners, yeah, we want to keep them running. Hey, yeah. But we also want to help support them and maybe tweak their training just a bit so they can still be out there and be on that road to recovery.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but the other question, chronic stuff, of course. Yeah, we treat tons of chronic stuff. People that have had pain for 10, 20 years, and they come in finally, and I'm just like, you should have come 10 years ago. I could have helped you, but yeah, we can help them too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
A lot of people, when I got my back surgery, a lot of people just straight went to surgery instead of trying like therapy and stuff first, and then the surgery didn't work at all. And there's probably a high number of people that the surgery doesn't even help with their pain or may even add to it. And so is that like disappointing when you hear about that? You wish more people would try physical therapy first? And
yeah, absolutely. You know, there's times all the time that we see people and they tell us their story, because we really, when we do our assessments, we want to hear your whole story. But they tell me all these things that they tried and they were never referred to physical therapy, but they end up with this surgery. I'm like, man, we treat this all the time and have great results. And I don't know why you weren't sent to physical therapy. I think some of it is just some doctors don't know and they just don't understand. But we can help people. And man, some surgeries are not nearly as successful as you think that they are.
Yeah, the success rates and failure rates versus like a change of diet and like exercise and proper physical therapy. And on some of these like spinal fusions and different things that I was looking at, I'm like, they're pretty similar, you know, like success rates. So
yeah, I mean, if you look at meniscus tears, you automatically think like, oh, I have a meniscus tear, I'm going to have surgery. But really, the non-operative prognosis is really, really good. They're actually seeing that now with ACLs. ACL tear, you just assume you're going to be having surgery like immediately. And they're now finding that you can be really successful in a lot of circumstances with a non-operative approach. Now, what they're trying to figure out more is like, who is the person that needs surgery and who's the person that doesn't? Because obviously, surgery can be wonderful and exactly what you need sometimes. But the best approach, in my opinion, is going to be, let's start with the most conservative thing.
Yeah.
And then progress from there, going on and on. But really, that's what a lot of our profession is trying to push for, is more direct access to say, the first person that you come to when you have this strain, sprain, or issue, go to PT. Mm-hmm. Right? 'Cause that's what we're trained to do. We're also trained to know when we can't help somebody, to say, oh, yeah, we've done our screenings, and I think that you need to go back and see your primary care physician, or you need to go and visit with an orthopedic surgeon. But we can.
Do y'all sometimes get to that point and refer to orthopedic surgeons and be like, hey, your shoulders, you know, it's going to need surgery, then physical therapy. Like, it's that far gone.
We have that conversation quite a bit, to where this week we were treating somebody and it's like, hey, we've been working on your back here. We've been trying to get you better. You've been here for a couple of weeks now, and we're really not seeing any improvement. I think you need to go back to see your orthopedic. Okay? Now, that's not most of our patients. Most of our patients are seeing great results. They're doing really well and very happy with their progress. But in the end, I'd say most people progress, but are you happy with the progression that you've made? And if so, then great. And if not, then we'll progress you to the next level.
Now, I skipped over, there was a question on here about active or passive. I don't know if you already went into that, but
yeah.
But can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people have the idea that physical therapy, and this is really what it used to be. You'd come in, they'd put you on a hot pack, then somebody would come in and they'd do a little vibration thing on you for a while, and then they'd come in with an ultrasound wand and rub that all on you, and then you'd come in and maybe do a couple of stretches, just like kind of static stretching, and that was about it. And for a while we thought like ultrasound was the best thing ever and it was going to cure all of our problems. And the thing is, though, the ultrasound machine has pretty much the same effect whether it's on or off.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So these passive treatments, a lot of them show some good relief of pain on the short term, but they don't really impact the long term. So there's obviously a lot of value and worth in a short-term relief. And so we try to provide all of that we can, but our focus is towards active. Our patients aren't coming in saying, like, I have a problem, not being active. Or that might be a problem leading to their pain, but they're not trying to do things that are passive. Their goal is to be more active so they can go back and play with their grandkids or so they can get back on the field. Mm-hmm. So an active problem needs an active solution, not a passive one.
Mm-hmm. And how would you, I guess every patient is different, but how do you help them have an active recovery and everything? Is that just doing more like stretches and exercises or...
Yeah.
All the above?
No, that's a great question.
Yeah.
You know, we certainly do plenty of stretching, obviously a lot of hands-on work, but the best bang for your buck, as far as the most good I can do people in most circumstances, is going to be to get them stronger.
Yeah.
Okay? If you look at the research, it's very, very clear that strength is a variable. If you track it, you can predict how long somebody's even going to live, okay, or how independent they're going to be. To say... a loss of strength is one of the biggest reasons why people end up in a nursing home, okay, or a skilled facility to take care of them. It's because they get too weak.
Yeah. Okay?
It's also linked towards diabetes and cancer and depression and all these things. So not being strong enough is really detrimental. And having good strength helps you in almost every way. Mm-hmm. If you could put exercise in a pill, it would be the most widely prescribed medication that there is. So there's so many benefits to it. But did I answer that question?
Yes.
What was the question again?
we were talking about active and passive and exercise. Yeah. But no, that's
and stretching is great.
So true.
Stretching is great, but there's not nearly the same benefit from doing a stretch as there is with getting stronger.
Yeah.
Now, some people, they need stretching.
Yeah.
They're just really tight.
Yeah.
Okay? But a lot of people, they feel tight. But that's not the same thing as being tight.
Yeah.
Okay? And sometimes our bodies are just so guarded okay, because they don't want to move because there's such a lack of strength or stability. And so their body reflexively and protectively tightens up. Okay? And so people come in with these, you know, really tight upper traps, and they're like, oh, I just need to stretch it. I'm like, well, what have you tried for? It's like, oh, I've just been stretching it. I'm like, okay, so maybe we need to do something else. Maybe we need to get you strong.
Yeah.
Right? And we want to meet people where they're at. Because when I start telling people that we need to get you stronger or, hey, we're going to do some strength training, they're like, oh, I don't know about that. Like, I'm not sure.
I don't know about weights.
Are you sure? I'm like, yeah, but we're going to start them off at a level that they can handle. Mm-hmm. What I usually tell people is, I want you to do the best that you can. I think if it's a little sensitive, that's fine, okay, and that's normal, especially with injury. Mm-hmm. Okay, but it should be challenging. You should feel something. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we're going to progress them at their pace, at their level. And sometimes people go really fast and surprise themselves.
Yeah.
And sometimes we got to pump the brakes and go extra slow, and that's fine to do too.
Yeah.
But yeah, these people, everything's easier when you're stronger.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. And they say you don't if you don't use it, you lose it.
That's true.
With muscles.
Yeah.
So it's super important and everything.
There was a quote. Is an author named Mike Matthews. I don't know if you read any of his stuff, but I really love this quote. He said, "Fitness isn't everything, but everything's easier when you're fit." I'm like, that's
There's
true.
A lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
There is a lot of truth. Like my grandmother, she's 85, and she's still lifts weights when not a lot. She's not a bodybuilder, but she lifts some weights and she walks and exercises and everything. And she had a bone density scan and it was awesome for her age and everything. And actually, she probably doesn't like me saying this on the podcast, but she had a little slip a couple months ago and kind of somewhat injured her shoulder, but she went to her doctor, and her doctor was like, you probably would have broken a bone if your bone density wasn't so good. And she lifts weights, and she also eats very healthy and everything too. But there's so much truth to that and everything, and having strength.
Your grandma.
Yeah,
that's
she's awesome.
Way to go.
Grandma Charlie, she's, you know, very healthy and likes to lift and everything.
Great.
But,
good for her.
But yeah, that's awesome. And I'm sure that's a big misconception too with, you know, well, I'm trying to recover. Shouldn't I, they think rest, but actually it sounds like, you know, they need to be exercising and moving and lifting.
And lifting. Yeah. When you have, you know, a bone split in two, that's a good time to rest.
Yes. Well, of course.
But in most circumstances, they found that, you know, walking early after an injury, being up and active and moving, that just aids in the healing process.
Oh, yeah, and
that's,
for sure.
That's how our bodies are made. Mm-hmm. You know, they're made for work.
Yes.
Right? And they found that we really degrade when we're not doing those things. We don't live as long when we do those things. We get more depressed when we're not doing those things. We don't sleep as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of health counselors that I've talked to, mental health counselors, one of the big things that they prescribe their patients is getting outside and exercising.
Yeah.
And that's a huge, huge thing with mental health, too.
Like a really underrated side effect of exercise.
Yeah.
It's called like secondary benefits. There's a ton of secondary benefits. And it's a huge, huge thing for people that are fighting depression.
It is.
So it's kind of a cycle, though, because like as you're getting depressed, you don't really feel like working out, and you have to like really force yourself to work out. And I think that for some people is harder than the actual workout. It's just that first step of, hey, I got to stop. I got to get out of bed. I got to stop being so lazy and I've got to do something. And for me, going to the gym is probably not going to be what gets me out of bed. For me, it has to be something sports related. I play a lot of sports, and like that kind of like tricks me into being, you know, more active. But that, I think people that are struggling with depression, they have to find something that like just gets them over that hump where it's like they don't want to work out, they don't want to do anything. Do you have any tips or tricks for that? Or
oh man, showing up is often the hardest part.
Do you see that in some of your patients that get injured?
Yeah, really for us, we're providing accountability. Mm-hmm. They would say, okay, let's get you set up a schedule, an appointment. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you're just saying, oh, I'm going to go out and do something myself, then, there's a lot more barriers to that. But that's why I think community and support systems are so important. Mm-hmm. If you have somebody else that is expecting you to be there, you're a lot more likely to show up.
Yeah. So,
there's tons of things out there as far as exercise in groups, that require socialization. Even right next to you guys here, there's like a lot of great options, a lot of things all around town. But I think community would be an easy thing to help keep you accountable, or even just making a commitment to show up. Okay? Maybe you don't even necessarily do it, but just say, I'm going to make my trip out there too. I think Jake, Coach Jake,
I
think
Jake.
He just posted this.
Yeah.
But anyway, just showing up, making a commitment to show up. Mm-hmm. Okay? Even if you don't do anything, but just show up. And I bet you don't quit. I bet you do it if you show up. But it is hard. It's really hard when you're depressed to get yourself out there and do it.
And then do you recommend, like, say someone finally gets over that hump and they finally make the effort, do you recommend to kind of, like, start slow?
Yes.
Because in my experience, let's say I take a couple years off and I'm like, I got to get back in the gym. And then you go too hard and you're so sore that,
you can't walk.
You can't even think about going to the gym for the next 3 or 4 days. Yep. So, that slow ramp up back into being as active as they were before.
And when I was a new grad physical therapist, I get real excited. See, there's like, man, we're going to make a good difference. We're going to get you some great exercises. And they were. There's nothing wrong with what we did. However, in my inexperience, I tended to push people too hard, too fast. And I've realized that a lot of people just drop off after that. They're discouraged because they say, I'm hurting way more than I was before. And it's in different ways. And, of course, a lot of them just aren't used to being sore. I had an elderly woman walk in for her second visit. And she was like, man, you hurt me. And I'm like, what do you mean I hurt you? I don't help you. She's like, I was really achy all through my arms and my legs, right in the muscles. I'm like, oh, you're sore. You're not hurt, you're sore. But that doesn't always click with people.
Yeah.
So, you have to challenge people enough that they they feel something, and they feel something happening. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the art of the job.
Yeah.
To say, I can push this person a little bit harder and get a result a little bit faster. Or with this person, I need to take a slower approach, okay, and make this really manageable. Okay? Because it's just like if you're dieting, okay, if you try to cut out everything all at once, like, okay, I'm cutting out all sugar, all dairy, all alcohol, I'm never going out to eat, you're not likely to stick to it. You're going to give up pretty fast. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, manageable chunks, personalized to the person, looking at their history. Someone has a lot of history of exercise, it's probably going to tolerate more, and you can push them harder.
Yeah.
If you've been, you know, inactive, doing too little for too long, and then get in there and try to do too much too soon, that's when injuries happen. That's a lot of my patients. They come in because they're motivated, but they bit off more than they could chew, and then they're in my office with a strained sprain. And we try to direct them a little bit more appropriately to say, hey, I love the idea. I love the enthusiasm. I want you to do those things too. Let's build a step-by-step approach to get you there.
And speaking of pain, there's so many factors that influence pain and perceptions of pain and different things. So kind of explain that a little bit. Like, is all pain the same? Does it come from the same reason why people are in pain? Or?
Yeah. This is weird, but I really like pain.
Yeah.
I don't like it myself for me, but I just think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because the more that there is understood about pain, the more we understand that we don't know a lot about pain. Mm-hmm. It's just so complex. And we have this idea in our mind that it's all very mechanical. Mm-hmm. That, okay, there's pressure on this nerve, and so I'm going to feel this exact thing. Or because I have this degree of arthritis or degenerative changes, then I'm going to have this much pain. Okay? But they've just shown that not to be true. Mm-hmm. Pain is an experience, and pain is very individualized. And almost everything in your life will affect how you experience that pain. Mm-hmm. Okay? And pain is also, it's processed in your brain. Okay? So your beliefs and attitudes and expectations about what's happening to you is going to greatly influence how you actually experience that pain. Mm-hmm. Because there's a signal that your brain interprets. And then what you feel after that is determined by your brain. Mm-hmm. Okay? So all pain is from the brain.
Yeah.
Okay? And so people say, is all my pain in my head? I'm like, yeah. But it is for everybody else, too, because all pain is from your brain. So, yeah, pain is complex. We see people all the time. They come in with these images. Eh? They say, oh, I have degenerative disc disease, and they just, like, collapse. I'm like, I'm doomed. And really, things like that, like, they're scary sounding. Mm-hmm. And that sets off these alarms and triggers. And then all of a sudden, they find they're hurting more. Mm-hmm. Eh? And it's because they have this fear introduced. So, yeah. Fear and anxiety, that increases our pain sensitivity. Okay? Yeah. Even a lack of sleep increases our pain sensitivity significantly. Stress is a huge one. So, yeah, pain is complex, and it can't be attacked purely from a mechanical standpoint, mm-hmm. which is mostly what we do.
Yeah. Okay?
With exercise and movement and education is a lot of what we do too. But, pain is complex, influenced by almost everything.
Yeah.
One thing I notice about pain is, let's say the first day, you're in a little bit of pain or whatever, so you don't feel like working out. You finally get over that. You go and work out. You're sore. But if you stay with it for like a couple of weeks, I don't even know if the other pain goes away so much as that, like, your pain tolerance is going up. You're sore 3 days a week because you're going to the gym. Mm-hmm. And so your brain kind of like the rest of it becomes white noise and just pushes it out. And I'm like, are my joints not hurting anymore, or am I just, like, my pain tolerance? And it's almost like when you're listening for a rattling in your car, almost everything starts rattling. So same thing with pain. You're like, am I in pain anywhere? And you're focusing on too much on the pain, and then it just increases it that much more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. That was a great example. We people come in with knee pain, and they said, man, my knees, every time I bend them, they pop. And I'm like, yeah, what do you think that means? I said, well, I think there's something wrong. I'm like, so if I bend down and my knees pop, there's something wrong with my knees? And they're like, I don't know. It's like, okay, what about my kids? When they bend down, my kids, their knees pop sometimes. Do you think there's something wrong with their knees? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, well, good news. There's studies that tell us what the answer is, and it's really is kind of funny because the answer they say what it means when joints are popping when you are doing something is it means they're moving.
Yeah.
Now there are certain pops that are normal and not normal.
Yeah. Right?
But whenever we are having pain, our focus goes to that area. Mm-hmm. Right? And so that part of my knee and my brain gets really big. Okay, and so I start noticing everything. I start, oh man, my knee's popping, when it was probably popping your whole life. But now you notice it because things are really hurting. So yeah, your attention, even your distraction. Okay? Because certain problems in our life stop being so significant because other things are more important.
Yeah.
And so when you have other things that are distracting or even helping you, then yeah, you feel better and experience less pain.
It's interesting.
So you had mentioned pain is like tortilla soup. So explain. I'm intrigued.
Okay. So I tell this story in my clinic sometimes. But so my wife and I, we went to Austin. Mm-hmm. We were going to visit some friends. And we love going to Austin. We went to this great restaurant. It was on a patio. And we're patio people. Like, we love mm-hmm. being on patios.
Yeah.
So we were in our element, hanging out with good friends. My wife, she got tortilla soup. Mm-hmm. Delicious. She loved it. And then we went out after that, and not too long after that, she just goes straight to the bathroom and just throws up on the way there. Like, doesn't even make it there. It's just, like, going. It's not good. Not pretty. And so at that point, she no longer wanted any tortilla soup, nothing to do with tortilla soup. She had a significant aversion to tortilla soup. Okay? To the point where one of her favorite foods is no longer on the menu.
Oh. Okay?
So this bad experience really changed that for her.
Yeah.
Okay? But over time, she could try having tortilla chips again.
Yeah.
Okay? And then maybe she could have something tomato-based again, okay? Or something with maybe a little corn or something like that, to where she started to experience some of these things broken down a bit, mm-hmm. okay? To where then she could enjoy tortilla soup again. Okay? Now, the real way that happened wasn't quite as dramatic as that, but that's the same way that it works a lot of times with our body. Hey, you are dealing with past experiences. Okay? For some of my athletes, like, they blew out their knee cutting on the field. Okay? And so now cutting is really scary because last time I did this, this particular thing happened. Okay? Or like me, like, I've been in a couple of car wrecks. And after the car wreck, every time I get in the car, I'm just nervous and anxious. And I'm convinced, like, everything is going to hit me.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I have this heightened sense of danger. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's ways to calm that heightened sense down to where we don't perceive as much danger and we don't experience as much pain. And a lot of it is just exposure over time. Mm-hmm. Okay? Or even trying to change people's beliefs about their body. Mm-hmm. Okay? I have people come in that say, I can't squat. I'm like, okay, what do you mean? And I'm like, show me your squat. And they stand up and they do this like little baby squat. And they're like, oh, my knees. I'm like, okay, fine. Why don't you go ahead and sit down for me? And then they sit down. I'm like, okay, sorry. Would you go ahead and stand back up for me? And they stand up. And I'm like, you did that pretty good. But you called it a squat before.
Yeah.
And so it's painful. And there's these associations with these ideas.
Uh-huh.
And so our perception really affects how we experience things. Mm-hmm. Okay? And at what part of life is that not true?
Yeah.
Okay? We know a positive expectation is linked to a positive outcome. Mm-hmm. That's called the placebo effect. And it's powerful, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay? But it works both ways. Have you heard of the nocebo effect?
No. Okay. So explain.
The nocebo effect is the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. It's a negative outcome from a negative belief. It's really powerful.
Yeah.
They've done these studies to say, hey, take this sugar pill, okay? And it's going to help you with your headache, but it's going to give you a fever. Mm-hmm. People got a fever from a sugar pill because they were told they would.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing with, with vomiting. Mm-hmm. They said, take this sugar pill, it's going to help you with your headache, but you're going to vomit. And people vomited.
Wow. Okay?
So the nocebo effect is really powerful, mm-hmm. as well as the placebo effect. So yeah, how you think about things, and really us helping you experience them in a different way, in a safe way that kind of builds up to the activity you want to do. So someone that then can't squat, okay, let's just do a little, a step up, mm-hmm. okay? And then a bigger step up, okay? And then a mini squat, and then a bigger squat, and then we'll give you a weight with the squat. But it's just steadily progressing and exposing your body to these things, which can then improve your strength, mm-hmm. okay? Help the joint space, decrease your fear and anxiety about it, And yeah, there'll be other added benefits along the way if those, as far as those secondary effects at the same time.
Yeah.
So this aversion therapy that you're describing, where, where like if someone has this aversion, they just take it in small doses. Mm-hmm. And because I have one with whiskey from like a bad experience. So you're saying maybe if I mix it like a Jack and Coke or something and slowly get, I can push.
Try this and
I
just do an experiment and see if we can do
it. I can push past this if I try. I can get back on
just
the whiskey.
Got to really muscle through it.
Physical therapy is not just good for the body. Other things too. That's
Sorry.
Awesome. What are some other misconceptions with physical therapy, like with related to maybe arthritis or other injuries mm-hmm. and everything? And
This goes about a bit to one of the things I was talking about before. But people think that arthritis is when they're told they have arthritis. Mm-hmm. They then believe that they're always going to have pain. Okay? When you look at the reports of arthritis, it just is a pretty steady straight line. Mm-hmm. Okay? You don't go from having no arthritis to like severe arthritis, yeah. right? So people come in and they say, oh, I started having really bad pain a week ago. And I'm like, okay, what's been going on with it? I was like, oh, I have arthritis. I'm like, okay. But you got to think about your joint because it didn't go from no arthritis to arthritis all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Okay? If you look at that same plot as far as arthritis steadily increases over time, but then you look at the reports of pain and dysfunction, it's actually more of a bell curve. Okay? So it's not necessarily that someone with a lot of arthritis has a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. Okay? But going back to the knee, they've done these studies. They look at somebody with pain in one knee, mm-hmm. and they do imaging on both sides. Okay? Oftentimes, the side that's not hurting is looking worse on an image than it actually feels.
Wow, okay? Interesting.
We talk about imaging as almost like a wedding picture.
Yeah.
Okay? Like the big group photo they do that there's like hundreds of people in. Okay?
Yeah.
Everyone likes to have their best day of their life. Okay? Right? Everyone's yeah. smiling. There's the one uncle that's probably not.
Yeah.
But everyone else is smiling. You can tell a lot from that picture. You can tell what they're wearing. You can tell maybe the time of day. You know, plenty of things that you could draw from that picture. But you're not going to tell that this person is really not feeling well. And yeah. this person, they got in a huge fight on the way over here. They're not happy with each other. But you would know from the picture.
Yeah. Okay?
So images tell us some good things. But really, it gives us clues. Mm-hmm. Okay? It gives us clues that we put together with their function. Okay? So we do evaluations. We're doing a functional evaluation. Okay, you have arthritis. What can you do with your arthritis? Mm-hmm. Okay? And people often surprise themselves. So, yeah, that's one of the misconceptions. People think arthritis is always going to mean they're doomed to pain and they can't change. But, man, our bodies can change. Our bodies are really powerful.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you try to encourage your patients to incorporate other things like maybe diet or, you know, other things like that?
Supplements.
Yeah. And CBD.
Yeah, of course.
They're on the CBD thing.
Now, the answer is yes to all those things. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not an expert in nutrition, although I've taken some nutrition courses in my undergrad and PT school, and I'm not an expert in mental health either, although, you know, I've read plenty on these things, but that's not my bread and butter.
Yes.
But we make sure that we mention, especially our patients that are experiencing more chronic-type symptoms, that everything is important for your pain.
Yeah.
Okay, that even if you just look at like the major health categories as far as your diet, your sleep, okay, your stress, your family life, your relationships, okay, if you can just say, where can I be healthier in any of these categories? Okay, and if you can just be the healthiest person that you can be, you'll feel better, even if your body doesn't change.
Yeah.
So, usually leave them with that. I have resources that I give to people as far as, hey, here's somebody that can give you more information on this. Okay? But yeah, my patients, they'll ask all kinds of questions. It's very common to say, hey, what else can I take for this?
Yeah.
And me, I don't prescribe medication. That's not what I do. Hey, and I'll send them to their physician for stuff like that. But I have a lot of patients that are like, man, I don't want to take these big pain medications anymore. I don't want to have opioids anymore. And I say, what else can I do? I'm like, you need to go to Lone Star Naturals. You need to go talk to these people.
Yeah, definitely.
They know all about this stuff. And I usually mention, the CBD, it binds to the same receptor sites that your opioids do. Mm-hmm. And I worked next to a pain doc for a while, and he was starting to put his patients, trying to take away some of the opioids and put them on CBD.
That's awesome.
And he's having pretty good results. And until that point, I thought CBD was a fad.
Yeah.
I thought it was some snake oil. Okay?
Yeah.
But when this pain doc next door started doing this, I'm like, okay, maybe there's something to this. And so then, yeah, I started recommending some patients to try it. And my patients, they most all of them say that they really see some benefit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they enjoy it.
That's awesome. Yeah, it does seem like you were saying, a cycle of benefits with, you know, making sure you're getting good sleep at night, you're resting, it's better for your mental health the next day, and then you feel better, you know, physically because you've gotten a good night's rest. And that's what we do see a lot of with the customers that come in. We have them start CBD. They can sleep better at night. It's helping with their inflammation and pain in their joints. And then they just start to overall feel better and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, and we do encourage everybody, too, to stay active and eat healthy and everything, too, which is super important.
Yeah.
So it's good to see that when, you know, customers and patients and everybody start incorporating all the different health benefits. And it's just, you know, overall so beneficial.
Providing that education is just one of the very best things that you can do for people.
Yes, yeah. Speaking of education, what is something that you could give our listeners and viewers, maybe a tip or trick that they can do every day to improve the quality of their health? Maybe something small or just something they can start thinking about.
Yeah. Let me talk about one principle to introduce my tip.
Okay, go for it.
So I tell people their body has a superpower of adaptability. Okay? Our bodies are always adapting. Okay? And whether it's to sitting on the couch and watching Netflix, because your body is aiming to be the most efficient version of itself that it can. Okay? So if all you do is you sit down, you send the signal to your body that you don't need that bone density anymore. You don't need that muscle anymore. You don't need that connective tissue between your joints anymore. Okay, so what's going to start withering those things away? Because that all takes extra energy to maintain. Okay, especially muscle. Okay? Muscle is calorie hungry. Okay, so if you're looking to lose weight, build some muscle, and your metabolism is going to go way up as far as the calories that your body burns in a day.
Yeah.
Okay, but even though you can adapt backwards, you can adapt forward too. So when you start doing things, and your body says, "Oh, I need bone density. Like, oh, I need muscle. Oh, I need this this joint, the cartilage between the joints. I need that to become more robust." And so these changes start to occur. So first, say you can change. Your body can adapt. Okay, so that's the first principle. And the second thing is the very best exercise is the ones that you do.
Yeah.
So I have preferences, and the most bang for your buck is going to be strength training. But anything you do is going to benefit significantly. Okay? And every little bit that you do counts. So even if you only do 10 minutes, do something active. Find something you have access to. Find something that you might enjoy. Okay? And bring a friend. Do something like that too. But anything that you want to do, okay, whether it's doing, you know, just a couple little mini squats in the living room, okay, or going and joining up at a gym or something, but the very best exercise that's going to change your life is the ones that you do.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's so good because everybody's different. You know, like I love to run. Josh hates running. Yep.
My wife and I.
But, you know, we actually just got into pickleball and everything.
Yeah,
he plays basketball too. So it's like, you know, that sport, the exercise, you know, whatever motivates you. Because, yeah, everybody's different. Everybody has their different thing. So I like it. That's awesome. So, and I know you mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, but where can we find out more about Velocity Physical Therapy? And you're located in Crossroads, which isn't too far from Denton.
No, it's really not. And we actually have two clinics in Denton as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can find us at our website, velocity-pt.com.
Awesome.
But, yeah, we have locations here in Denton. We have actually our second location. It should be opening in about 2 weeks in North Denton. It's actually a women's health-specific clinic with pelvic PT.
Nice.
And then our one right here across the street here in Denton.
Yep, right here.
Right here, yeah. They are a general outpatient orthopedic clinic. We treat several other, you know, neurological type conditions, vestibular conditions, stuff like that as well. And then we have one at Sanger.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Nice. That's awesome. Well, thank you, Wes, for being on the podcast.
Yeah,
I really appreciate you being on here and everything. And we'll see y'all next time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely.